This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Hey, how's everybody doing? The NBA All-Star break is in the books, and we are ready to go. The Bulls have 23 games left in the regular season, hoping to make a push to qualify for the play-in tournament and get a shot at making that 8-team playoff field. Our special guest on episode 119 of Give Me the Hot Sauce is the public address announcer at the United Center. You know him, Tim Sinclair. He was at the All-Star game in Salt Lake City doing all the work over there. He's also the PA voice for the Bears, the Chicago Fire, the Fighting Illini, and he also does work on NBA 2K. So he's full service for all you fans out there. It'll be fun chatting with Tim in just a bit. Stacey, what'd you do over the All-Star break? Anything fun?
Relaxed. Yeah. Took the time off trying to recharge the batteries a little bit. I was going to jump on a plane and go with Whispers to Florida, and I decided at the last second that, you know, it was just going to be me and him, and just wasn't really worth the trip.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
So, Whispers, what did you end up doing out in Fort Myers? It was supposed to be a guy's weekend, and everybody canceled on you.
Yeah, I was just by myself.
Oh, that's a sad song. All by myself.
Kind of like that. Well, Chief Little Legs came over.
So all that right. Out, so. That's good. Yeah. Did you guys shoot any videos?
No, we did not.
What kind of video?
No, it's Angel Water videos.
Check out my water, Andy.
Yeah, Drew the Water Guru.
Yeah, Drew the Water Guru.
Yeah, that could get a little weird.
So. We only drink Angel Water here in the Hot Sauce Studios.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Except Stacey's drinking something else. So other than that, you know, we're doing fine. All right, so the news of the week. Lonzo Ball will not be playing any basketball this season. The Bulls announced, as expected, they are shutting him down. We had LeVar Ball on the show a few weeks ago, Stace, and he was talking about the fact that even if Lonzo could get back for a few games, it'd be worthwhile. But obviously they decided that his knee is just not close to being ready for game competition.
Well, obviously he's not comfortable being out there, and they're not comfortable putting him out there and further, you know, doing damage to the knee. I mean, it's still baffling to the team, Lonzo's people, doctors, of why he's still feeling pain in the knee. Yeah. So it's tough. I mean, this is, you know, he's missing the whole season. And I think when you look at it long term, you know, it's kind of like being redshirted, you know, and hopefully that he can get that knee right this summer and then be able to come back, you know, next season 100% ready to go, because it's obvious he's a key to this team. And if he's not out there, we've seen the difference with him not being out there.
When we talked to LeVar, you know, he didn't go into great detail in terms of how many doctors he's seen or what the diagnosis is. What we've been told is that he had some debris from past surgeries that was rubbing on a nerve. They cleaned that out. But for whatever reason, whenever he tries to ramp up his activity, tries to do some serious running and cutting, he has a lot of discomfort, a lot of pain. You worry about the kid's long-term future. He's only 25. He loves the game. I mean, some people are saying, well, he's just sitting at home collecting checks. Hey, that's the last thing he wants to do is be watching his teammates play.
No, this kid loves, eats, sleeps, and drinks basketball. He works on his game tirelessly. He made himself into a better three-point shooter. He changed the way he shot the basketball completely, really worked to become a threat from the three-point line. The guy was shooting over 40% from the three-point line last year. He was arguably the best, you know, one of the best rebounders the Bulls had last year. And defensively, with both him and Caruso on the floor at the same time, the Bulls officially was a top five defensive team. So they definitely miss him. The Bulls definitely miss his leadership and being able to slow the tempo down and get good shots. Fourth quarter is where you really start to see where he's missed, because the Bulls have lost so many games this year in the fourth quarter where they've lost direction. You know, when they have 14, 15, 24-point leads and they're losing games, because that's where you need that point guard to be able to stabilize what you need to get done. That's the guy that says, whoa, slow it down. Let's get in our offense. I'm going to get you a shot this time. I'm going to come down next time, read the defense. If they're still in that same defense, I'm going to get you another shot. And that's where you really miss Lonzo Ball.
I know you're not a doctor, but I'm going to ask your opinion anyway. You think he comes back and plays next season, Lonzo?
You know, I'm not a doctor, Mark.
Right.
But I did sleep in a Holiday Inn.
There you go.
Yeah, he's coming back. He's coming back. I just think this has been very unfortunate. I think so many people are, you know, I've heard, oh, he's the next Brandon Roy and all this other stuff. And people need to chill on that, you know, because, you know, this kid, you know, they got paid a lot of money. The Bulls are protecting their asset. You know, of course they want him back, you know, but it was a smart thing to shut him down because there's only 20-some games left, 23 games left. And, you know, what is the realistic chance him coming back this late in the season that he would have made such an impact to get us over the edge in 23 games? You know, because it would have still taken him 3 weeks to get his body right and his legs and everything. So, you know, I don't think he would have made that big of an impact. Maybe if it would have been early in December. And then now he's starting to work his way in, like, you know, like Murray from Denver, you know, Jamal Murray. You saw in the beginning of the year with him, he didn't look the same, but he's worked himself into, you know, a playing shape. He's much more confident with his knees. Same thing with Kawhi Leonard, you know, slow. You know, they did work management, load management, as they call it. And now he looks better going into the playoffs. So I think it would have been similar. But I'm looking forward to him coming back next year. I think he's going to make a full recovery. And I think he's going to be a big reason the Bulls, you know, really are one of the best teams next year.
And for fans who are pessimistic out there, you know, there have been stories of guys missing a long time and coming back and regaining their effectiveness. Jonathan Isaac, the young player from the Orlando Magic, sat out for 2 years trying to get his knee right. Now he's back, and hopefully he can resume his career at a high level. Remember when Joel Embiid started his career, he missed like 2 seasons with foot problems. Now it's different with a 7-footer with foot problems. That always is going to have some impact on their careers. But there have been, the point is there are stories in the league of guys missing multiple seasons and coming back and playing at a high level.
Well, we've seen it here in Chicago with Derrick Rose when he tore his ACL up, and the next year he tore his MCL in his other knee. Mm-hmm. And it was very frustrating to the fan base that it just seemed like, you know, Derrick couldn't catch a break. And then all of a sudden now, you know, he got himself back in it. He's playing. You know, New York's not playing him, but the last few years he's been playing at a pretty high level. It's unfortunate they're not playing him in New York, but he still can help a team, you know, especially a team that might be a playoff caliber team that's looking for guys who can come in and strengthen their bench or strengthen their point guard play.
So don't close the door on Lonzo Ball. He wants to come back. He loves the game of basketball, and I'm pretty confident, as Stacey is, that we'll see him in training camp ready to roll in September. So exit Lonzo Ball for the rest of the season. Enter the Chicago native, Patrick Beverly, the pride of Chicago Marshall High School. And this kid, since the news was announced that he's coming home, he has been all over the place on social media, and he's talking about, you know, I can't wait to wear that Chicago across the chest and represent in my hometown. If you think I played hard in previous stops, wait till you see what I do playing for my hometown team. He is going to be fired up, Stacey. And for fans that have seen the team being maybe a little bit flat at times, he's not going to let anybody be flat out there.
No, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, will check you. I mean, he will check the team. He will check his own teammates. You're not playing hard. This is exactly what they need. Now, I don't know exactly what he's going to bring offensively, defensively. I don't know. We know from past he's been a really good defensive player, but he's getting up there in age, you know, and but he still has leadership qualities. He's a guy that, like, yeah, you know, he's going to make you play hard. And that's what you need in the locker room. This locker room in particular is guys that will hold you accountable when you're not doing what you're supposed to do. See, we've got right now, before he came, we got a lot of nice guys, and no one in that locker room, they all lead by example.
Right.
You know, DeMar is a great veteran. He takes the young players, talks to them, shows them, you know, how to be pros. But he's not a guy that's going to point, you know, say, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. He's not that guy. He's going to come out every night. He's going to do his job and hope everybody follows. But this is the guy that will get in your face.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a guy that will, you know, will check your manhood. Like, you know, you you know, he'll get in your face and tell you, and he won't back down. That's what I've always liked about him as a player. He's one of those guys, when you play against him, Mark, you can't stand him. You hate him. You know, it's like, oh, this guy. But when he's on your team, kind of like Dennis Rodman, you know, when you bring a guy like that who on the other team you hate and despise, and the fan base hates and despise him, he comes on your team now, he's that, you know, everybody loves him because of the way he plays, the style that he plays, the guy will hold people accountable. He will hold himself accountable. So I'm looking forward to seeing these last 23 games, the dynamics of that. Now, the big question is, you know, how many minutes he's going to play? Are they going to start him? Are they going to put him in the lineup right away? Because you don't have a lot of time to acclimate him. It's activation as soon as he steps on that court. You got 23 games to try to work your way into not just being in the play-in game, but actually be in the playoffs. You know, the Bulls need to find their way. They're only a few, you know, four or five games out of, you know, being in like the sixth spot. So you got to start going on a streak here. You got to try to win four or five games and start putting wins together.
Yeah, and people are saying, well, Patrick Beverley's 34. He only averages 6 or 7 points a game. What's he going to bring? Well, over his last 25 games, Patrick Beverley has shot the three-pointer at a high clip. He's shooting about 42% from the three-point line. So he can come in and be a decent spot-up shooter. For his career, people think, well, he's just a defensive guy. He shoots it at 37% from the three-point line, and he's going to get open three-point looks, which, you know, at times Io has been reluctant to shoot because that's not his strong point. Pat Bev is a guy who can spot up and knock down a three.
Well, I mean, you know, Caruso struggled from the three-point line this year. Io's all of a sudden went into the tank and now is hesitant to take threes. Now you got a guy that'll come in. First of all, he doesn't lack confidence. He didn't care if he was shooting 29%.
He'll shoot it.
I mean, if he's open, he's going to shoot. And that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's how you get confidence. If you're open, you take the shot. If you miss, you miss. If you make it, you make it. And so this is the guy who does not lack confidence in that aspect of his game. So he will take that shot. And he's, like you said, he's shooting over almost 40%, you know, this year. What I like about him is that he also, you know, he's a much better point guard than people think. Like he can get to the basket. He can finish. He can, he'll be an irritant to other teams. He'll pick up guys full court. He'll play physical. When he switches on a bigger guy, we saw it with DeMar DeRozan, even though DeMar DeRozan had him in the post when he was with Minnesota and scored on him and put his hand down saying he was too small. But you like a guy like Patrick Beverley that plays with heart, that's not afraid to bang. He's not. I like what he did when he was in L.A. when one of his teammates was getting stood over by a player. And he came up from behind and shoved him, like, get out of my boy's face. And that's some 90s-style basketball. So I like that part of him. He sticks up for his teammates. But I like the fact that he's going to add a little edge to this team in these 23 games. He's playing at home. That's even going to inspire him even more. But I think what you've seen in the press, what you've heard him say, this is not all talk. This is not some guy just, you know, flapping his lips and just making things sound good. This is a guy who's actually going to do what he says.
So the message to LeBron's not just flapping the lips?
What was that message? I don't know.
That they're going to lose the two games that they're
going to beat the Lakers twice, help knock them out of the playoffs.
Well, I'd be careful about that. you can have that. I mean, I'm sure Russell Westbrook is saying the same thing. That's why he went to the Clippers.
Yeah.
I know the Bulls really wanted Russell Westbrook, but Russell probably looked at the situations and said, hey, wait a minute, I already still have a house in L.A. My family's there.
Yeah.
It's an easy thing. Maybe if there had been more games and his role would have been defined, like, you know, what he was going to do here, maybe he comes here. But you get a chance to stick it to the Lakers now. You get a chance to go at Laker Nation. All the people that booed him, all the people that said things against him and, you know, embarrassed him while his family was there. You know, he's personal. And the one thing about Russell Westbrook, you know, he's on that get back tour. He wants you. The only way you get back at the Lakers is to be in position to watch the Clippers succeed and get to the playoffs and the Lakers fail.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Westbrook adds to that team. You know, he was a teammate of Paul George in Oklahoma City, and those guys had a good relationship. And the minute that Westbrook became available, Paul George was recruiting him hard. And now that Kawhi Leonard's come back and playing pretty good basketball, actually playing at a very high level, Clippers are a dangerous dark horse team in that West.
Let me tell you something. They upgraded their roster. I mean, you got Plumlee coming from Charlotte. They got Eric Gordon, a shooter. So they upgraded in some very weak areas because they really didn't have a big guy coming off the bench. And Plumlee is an underrated center. People, man, they're sleeping on this kid. This guy can defend. He can rebound. He can run the floor, finish at the rim. He's a really good passer, underrated passer. So now they got him coming off the bench. You got Eric Gordon, a scorer coming off the bench, a proven scorer in this league. They can come out and keep the defense stretched. And then you bring in a Russell Westbrook that you can turn loose and pick up the tempo and pace in that starting group. So I'm really impressed what they did. But they're still, to me, the class of the Western Conference is Denver right now. I just don't see anybody. Even Phoenix being able, but Phoenix doesn't have a bench. You know, so you unless you're going to play Kevin Durant and those guys 40-something minutes a night, you know, they're in the same situation that Miami was in a few years ago when they cleared up all their space to bring in this kind of talent. I just don't see – I mean, I see the Mavericks doing more than the Suns, but Kevin Durant is a enormous talent, but I just don't see anybody really messing with the Nuggets. I think they're coming out the West.
Did you remember Mark saying to Adam Amin, what if Kevin Durant went to Phoenix? And you, Adam said that'll never, ever happen.
Well, no one expected that. They do an in-season trade. That's the NBA. That's why people love the NBA so much.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. And any player can be traded. It doesn't matter. Superstar players have been traded since the beginning of time in the NBA. So it doesn't matter. If a team can put some talented pieces together to move on a superstar, they will.
Let's talk about one of our great sponsors, our good buddy Jeff Vukovich over at Nationwide Insurance. When it comes to insurance for your auto, home, and business, make sure you contact the king of insurance, our good friend Nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. I think he's been spending time down in Phoenix enjoying spring training with the White Sox and Cubs. He always supports all of Chicago teams. So if you have insurance needs, make sure you contact Jeff. You can reach him at jeffvuk.com. That's jeffvuk.com. And Stacey, it's probably the longest you've gone in quite a while without singing the jingle.
No, I sing it every day at the house. Okay. So I've been practicing. America, you know.
Behind the scenes with Stacey King.
Behind the scenes, that's right.
Nationwide is on your side.
There you go. We're ready for 23 games of Bulls basketball and hopefully some postseason action as well. When you look at the standings, Stacey, the Bulls right now, 2 games behind Toronto for the 10 spot, but they don't want to just try to get to the 10 spot. They want to see to move up as high as you possibly can. Atlanta changed coaches. They fired Nate McMillan.
Crazy.
Joe Prunty will take over as the interim coach.
Wow.
They got a lot of talent on the Atlanta Hawks roster, but they're a game under 500. They're a team that maybe you can run down if you get on a hot streak.
Well, let me tell you something. I mean, you firing Nate McMillan this late in the season, what a joke. The guy the guy won, you know, all those games a year before, you know,
Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago.
And you know, that had to do more with him and Trae Young not being able to coexist. And so that's sad. But when you look at the standings right there, right now the Bulls should be looking at, make that bigger again, guys. I got bad eyes. It's too far. Okay, there we go. I'm just being honest, America. So if you look at like from six down, I mean, the Bulls can definitely catch these teams, but they got to go on a winning streak. That's not just winning 3 games and lose two. Mm-hmm. It's like winning 4, 5, 6 games. They can do it, but you got to lock in now, man. This is playoff basketball. Look at like the Knicks right now. You got the Bucks, who's the hottest team. They've won 12. The Sixers have won 4 in a row. And then the Knicks have won 3. And then you got the Wizards and Raptors, who the Bulls are chasing. They're winning games right now. They've put 2 games together. So the Bulls have got to turn it around, and they've got to start putting some wins together to even make a dent.
We're going to bring in Tim Sinclair, who was in Salt Lake City for All-Star Weekend, get his thoughts and some of the things he saw, including Mac McClung winning that slam dunk contest.
Mac McClung, former Bulls.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, one game.
Former Bulls player.
You know, he's a two-way guy with the Philadelphia 76ers. He's getting endorsements all over the place. So congratulations to Mac McClung. Coming up after a break, we will bring in our friend Tim Sinclair, our special guest on episode 119 of Give Me the Hot Sauce. We're back in episode 119 of Give Me the Hot Sauce. It's our pleasure to welcome in the guy that you hear at the United Center. He's got the great voice, Tim Sinclair. He's the PA announcer for the Chicago Bulls, also the Chicago Bears, the Chicago Fire. Stacey's gotten reverb going as he's listening to the show and being on it at the same time. Also the voice of NBA 2K, which is really cool. And he's in Champaign-Urbana getting ready to do the public address announcements at State Farm Center as the Fighting Illini host Northwestern tonight. So, Tim, you are a very busy man. We appreciate you taking time for Give Me the Hot Sauce. Let's start with All-Star Weekend. What was that like for you being in Salt Lake City and seeing all the festivities?
Well, first of all, thanks for having us, guys. This is certainly a pleasure. All-Star was great as usual. Everyone's different. You know, you last year the game was pretty good and the dunk contest was terrible. This year it was kind of the other way around. I felt like the skills challenge and dunk contest were a lot of fun. The game was just so, but the atmosphere is always incredible. And it's kind of like old home week for people who've worked in the NBA for a few years. You see a lot of people you haven't seen in a while. And then you never know when you're going to turn a corner and run into an NBA player or a former NBA player. I was getting on the elevator in my hotel and Allen Iverson walked out and walked around the corner. And Dr. J was there. So those things are always a lot of fun and never gets old.
Talk a little bit about that slam dunk contest and how electrifying it was. I mean, it caught up. I knew about this Matt McClung. I saw him in high school. I knew he was a high flyer. He just got called up from the G League to play for Philadelphia. Basically, you know, he could have put, you know, the G League uniform on. I think he did at the end. But to talk a little bit how the electricity, because from where I was watching it from the fans' point of view at home, it seemed like it was probably the most entertaining dunk contest we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, in years and years and years. I think there was some anticipation because a lot of people remembered the virality of his dunks in high school and college. I called a game when he was playing for Georgetown and came and played Illinois a number of years ago and remember people even talking about it then. And so the anticipation was high and he was very, very smart to do his, in my opinion, his best dunk first and make it. I think that was a big problem last year. There were so many misses. It just sort of sucked the air out of the room. But there was anticipation for him to dunk, and he went over not one but two people. And then when you saw the replay and saw that he'd banged it off the backboard before doing his reverse dunk, it was unreal to be close. And then watching highlights, they just got better and better. And you're right. Best in years, and every bit that you saw oozing through the television in terms of energy, it was in that building for sure.
It's pretty interesting after the game that Mike Malone, the head coach of the Denver Nuggets and was the named the coach for the Western Conference All-Stars, he said that it was painful to watch that game. You know, no defense, guys just running up and down the court, dunking the ball, doing whatever they want. Do you think that Commissioner Silver, who's been a very proactive guy, is going to take a hard look at this game and maybe try to reformat it a little bit in the coming years?
Well, I felt like 3 years ago in Chicago, right after Kobe passed, and they decided to do the Elam ending, and they decided to play each quarter for charity. That was the first All-Star game I'd ever done, and I really felt like those changes brought back some of the competitiveness in the All-Star game, and that lasted for apparently 2 years plus the year that they did it in Atlanta during COVID. I don't know what happened this year. Guys just decided that it was going to be a layup line. I think the Elam ending helps. I think the playing for charity and each quarter is kind of its own game helps. But I would not be surprised if they tried to reformat it in some way, shape, or form to get guys to play a little defense. They did that they completely re-envisioned the skills challenge and have made changes to that each time. And so I don't see why, you know, that wouldn't also happen for the game if people are going, it's not even worth watching. It's so bad.
Yeah, I was looking at a clip from Kobe Bryant, and, you know, Kobe was talking about, you know, people said, why do you play so hard in these All-Star games? And he said, I take it personal, because if you're considered one of the best at what you do, you the competitive, you know, nature that comes along with it, you want to show these other guys that I'm better than you. So he always took it as a personal challenge to play hard. And just watching that game the other day, I was like, man, this is the kind of game you just want to turn it off, because it was just like a glorified layup line, guys. I mean, so take, you know, Jason Tatum scoring 55. It's kind of tainted, because it's like, well, you know, pretty much everybody could have scored 55 if they really, you know, would have thought about it, because there was no defense.
I could have scored 30 with that defense.
So, yeah, it was terrible. It wasn't fun to watch.
It was bad. Hey, let's. Yeah, I agree. And I didn't work the game. I just did the skills challenge and the dunk contest, the 3-point contest. So I got to kind of sit back and take it all in from the arena. And I remember saying several times to a couple of the other NBA guys who were with me, like, this just feels different than the last few years in terms of competitiveness. And so I would assume the NBA has been very proactive in trying to always make things better. And if they're getting negative feedback toward the game, and I think they are, and TV ratings came out and those were down, I would not at all be surprised if they tried to make some tweaks to make next year's in Indianapolis a little bit more fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot better next year. I think another factor was because Giannis went out immediately because of the wrist injury, and LeBron didn't play the second half, and they're two of the most competitive guys, and they couldn't really rally their teams. But let's move on to talk about what's been going on at the United Center since you've arrived. Obviously, you are the voice that people hear at the United Center, and you're really important in trying to get the crowd fired up. I know that at any job, sometimes you walk in and you're a little bit tired and maybe you don't have that energy. How do you get yourself fired up to make sure that you can get the crowd at the United Center fired up on a given game?
You know, I really feel like if I have to do that, maybe I'm doing the wrong job. Obviously I want the team to win. I want to be good. It's always more fun when you win. But on the flip side, I'm sitting center court for 40 some NBA games every year for the greatest team in the world, for the greatest fans in the world. And so to me, I don't ever want that to get old. I want to be able to walk in, and really take in how amazing an opportunity that is, and that in and of itself kind of gets me fired up. I would assume you know certain nights are harder than others based on the play on the court, but from my perspective, I've got one of the best jobs ever, and that literally every single day makes me love going to work.
Talk a little bit about when you first came to Chicago, and you know, they always talk about how hard it is to replace an iconic person, you know, stepping in right behind them. And now you got to fill some big shoes. And I thought from the very get-go, you know, you filled shoes from the very first day that we heard your voice on there. Talk about replacing Tommy Edwards, who's been there for 25 years, and then you step in right behind him. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we haven't missed a beat.
Well, I appreciate that. I felt the same with the Bears, too. You know, Jim had been there 38 years.
Wow.
when I took over. And there's always a little fear and trembling when you're taking over for a legend or a great, or in many cases, the only voice that fans of that team have ever heard in their lifetime, just because it's spanned their entire lifetime. So for me, I had to go in, one, realizing I was hired for a reason, because the team felt like I was the person for the job. And so I took some solace in that. But I also had to just commit to being myself and letting the chips fall where they may. I've never been a fan of pretending to be someone else or trying to do something just because somebody wants me to do it. If I'm not being authentic about it, then likely it's not going to come across great. And so if I can be me, hopefully people will like me and it'll be great. But if I'm trying to pretend to be somebody I'm not, that's not going to last real long, because I think fans, they can tell when somebody in that position is acting. I'm not always going to be turned up to 11. I'm not always going to be at the same excitement level. I'm not always going to be exactly the same, because situations are different and teams are different. And, you know, so I want to reflect what the crowd is or should be feeling in a given moment. And hopefully that comes across. That's been my goal from the beginning. And I couldn't be more thankful for the welcome that I've received from players and broadcasters and fans alike.
Speaking of different situations, you have to make the drive down to Champaign-Urbana to call Fighting Illini basketball games. They've got a big game tonight against Northwestern, and you've got a different atmosphere going from the NBA, which sometimes is a more reserved suit and tie kind of a crowd. People, you know, adults just entertaining clients and stuff. Now you're going into a frenzied student atmosphere. What's that like for you going down there working the Illinois games?
Yeah, they're very different. This is, I think, my eighth or ninth season now with Illinois, and yeah, student sections are something else, especially the Orange Crush, and they sit about 10 feet behind me, so I can hear them the entire game. And it's a different atmosphere, but it's great. Like in the NBA, you're right, it's more about glitz and glamour and entertainment and a show and some of those things. And in college, it's more about, I think, history and students and the band and the cheerleaders. And it's just, it's got a very different feel, but I like it. You know, we've got some season ticket holders who might be more like an NBA fan who tend to stay in their seats more often than not. But you've got thousands and thousands of screaming Orange Crush fans who literally don't let up from, you know, tip to the final buzzer. And it makes it a different kind of fun. I don't know how else to describe it other than that. But, man, I cherish those games that I get to do. And ideally, I don't have to miss too many. There are some overlaps every once in a while, but I try to make every single one I'm able to.
You've seen a lot of games, football, baseball, basketball. Talk a little bit about what's one of the most special things that you've seen at any of the levels as an announcer, as a you know, play-by-play guy, just or anything. Just watch, like people say, well, the most iconic thing is the Michael Jordan shot on Cleveland. You know, the guy who was there probably like, wow, that was the greatest thing. What has been the greatest thing that you've seen, whether it be in college or NBA or NFL?
I would say, gosh, this last year, Justin Fields running for 170 some yards and breaking the all-time record in a game for rushing yards by a quarterback. You don't see NFL history very often, so that's probably on my list. I do a lot of soccer, and a few years ago, Lionel Messi came with Argentina to play at Soldier Field, and he had been injured, but of course, 60,000 people were in the stands specifically to see him, and he didn't start. Everybody was very disappointed. And then in the 60th minute, he got off the bench and checked into the game. And of course, everybody goes crazy. And in the next 25 minutes, goes on to score 3 goals.
Oh, wow.
It was some of the most brilliant soccer I have ever seen. You know, you were watching not only a legend, but, you know, most people would say one of the best, if not the best, to ever play the game. And that sticks with me for sure. The other thing I'll mention is it's not really a game, but it was halftime of last year's All-Star game when they recognized the 75 greatest NBA players of all time. And I got to be the voice of that on TNT. And that, man, especially introducing Michael at the end, I'd never introduced him up till that point. And getting a chance to do that will be at number one on my list for a very long time.
Well, speaking of being one of the best in the game, you know you've made it big when your voice is on a video game. You're involved in NBA 2K. Tell us how that all came about and what is the workload involved, because they've got to be prepared for so many different eventualities. How much man hours did you put in to try to make that project go?
Yeah, 2K really decided to be inventive, and they made every arena look like the home arena, and then they decided we want to make it sound like the home arena. And so they reached out to some of the PA guys and said, hey, can you help us record everything that you would do in a game to make this sound like a Bulls home game? And so I think 2 years ago was my first time out there, and that was the big one, because you have to literally get everything recorded, all those possibilities, right? So we would sit there. You have to get every jersey number, every potential height. You had to get every potential position name, all of those things. And we sat in there and would do 0-0, 1-1.
Oh, no.
2-2.
Wow.
All the way to 150, because you had to have an up sound for one score and a down sound for the other score, and it could be any score. And then you had to do a 6-foot guard, a 6-1 guard, a 6-2 guard, way through all the heights from 5 feet to 8 feet, because you can create anything you want. And then, because in 2K you can trade players to any team, it wasn't just like I had to do Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan for the Bulls and be excited, and that was it. You have to do every single player that could potentially be there they're home and as if they're away. So, after 6 days of recording, I was tired. And now the last two times I've been back has been like 3 to 3.5 days of catching all the stuff that is new in the game. But it's an experience of a lifetime for sure.
It's like, let me renegotiate my contract. I'm not getting paid enough to do this.
Man, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. Do you actually play the game?
I have a little bit. My sons, I've got a 14 and a 15-year-old son. They both love the game and play a lot. So I get to see and hear the results of the work, but I'm no good, so I don't play.
Wow, that's 6 days of recording.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I talked to a guy who does the Madden, Brandon Gouten. He does the Madden, and he was telling me how long it takes to do that. And people think it's so easy and simple, but I mean they've got to like you said, they've got to talk about every possible scenario that can happen in a football game, which is even more than a basketball game, because you're talking about flags, offsides, illegal procedure. I mean, all this stuff they got to rehearse. And he said it's crazy.
Wow.
The play-by-play guys especially, because they're talking about, as you know, every intricacy of the game. I'm just talking about score and players and who they are and what they've just done. But I don't have to say dribbles to the left or puts up a rainbow three. Like, I don't have to worry about any of that. So the guys who are recording this stuff for play-by-play, I can't even imagine how much work that is. My voice was gassed after doing just my part.
So now I know, like for me and Adam, you know, we are concerned about our voices sometimes. Sometimes if you catch a cold, your voice, you know, changes, and you got to take all these precautions to make sure your voice is where it's supposed to be. Now, do you have to do the same thing doing what you do?
Yeah, for sure. I do think in public address, I can push through it a little bit more than I could if I was doing TV or radio, because you're supposed to be more personality based on TV or radio. And so it can be more noticeable if you have a cold, because that can come through. Whereas in public address, I can kind of force through that a little bit and it's not as immediately noticeable. But I do have times where I get a cold or a sore throat or a runny nose, and you've got to just drink tea and take it easy and, you know, hope for the best. I thankfully, knock on wood, have never missed a game due to illness or not having a voice. And so I plan on continuing along that route, if at all possible.
All right, Whispers, what do you got? You got any research for our special guest?
Well, there wasn't a whole lot out there, but first of all, Tim, sorry about that loss tonight in Illinois.
He's a big Northwestern guy.
All right. So fair enough.
You were talking about earlier about getting the crowd excited, even whether they're winning or losing or anything like that. But then you had that unique experience of having to call touchdowns in Soldier Field without a single person in the stands. What was that like?
Honestly, football was I called 110 straight games without a single fan, because I was in the NBA bubble and the WNBA bubble. So did 60 games there, then did football, soccer, Bulls and Illini, all full seasons without fans. But the Bears was the hardest, because in an open air stadium, you can see all 60,000 empty seats, and there's no way to cover that. It's just me and 22 football players, and they couldn't pipe in a rising and falling crowd sound like they could in soccer and the NBA. The NFL wouldn't allow it in stadium, so it was very awkward. But my job in that respect was to do it for television and to do it for the players, to try to make the situation feel as normal as possible. And so I had to just have that in my head of, I'm trying to give the players and the officials the information they need to give them energy, even though there aren't fans in the building, and to make it sound on television like they're watching a game with 60,000 people rather than with zero. So it was weird, especially for my first year. I'd never done NFL before, and so my first year was completely crowdless. But we got through it, and I'm very, very glad fans are back.
People who work professional sports always have some stories about travel nightmares. You're trying to do NFL, NBA, MLS, traveling from here and there. You got any stories about almost not making it to a game because of weather conditions or other issues?
I've had a few that I have cut close. It hasn't necessarily been weather, but, you know, two games in the same day where I'm in Champaign for an early Illinois game at, you know, noon or one, and then I've got a Bulls game I've got to be at. So the Illinois game goes long, and then you get in the car and you hit traffic. So that has happened. But I think the most exhausting one I've had was this past December. I did the Big Ten football championship game in Indianapolis, so Michigan and Purdue. And that game didn't get over until like 12:30. And my spotter and I got in the car by about 1 o'clock and drove from Indianapolis to Chicago to do Bears Packers at noon. And so we had very little sleep, a whole lot of time on the road. We were already exhausted from the Big Ten championship game. And that's probably the one that I was like, you know, this isn't ideal. I wouldn't change it to getting to do those two games back to back, but it was cutting it a little closer than I'd like to.
Give our listeners a little taste of what, you know, growing up, you know, some people want to be, you know, football players, basketball players. Tell us a little bit. Did you growing up, was this something you envisioned that you want to do? Were you one of those guys that you had a deep voice as a baby? You know, you'd be like, hey, mom, can you give me some milk? You know, I mean, did you have that voice where your mom goes, I think he's going to be a PA guy. So tell us a little bit how you got into it and what was your direction getting into this, the field we're in now?
Well, I will say, I don't know about the deep voice, but my mom did always say that my brain never had a thought that my mouth couldn't use. So I think she knew I was going to talk for a living. She thought more lawyer. I actually jumped into studying architecture in college and thought that was going to be my path in life. And then about a semester or two in, I realized I needed a little spending money. And I happened to know somebody who worked at a local radio station. I just said, hey, do you need any help? And whether it was brilliance or idiocy, I'm not sure. But he said, hey, do you want to be on the air? And I went, all right. And so the night before my first college final, 11 p.m. to 6 a.m., I did my first radio shift and fell in love with it. I wasn't any good, but I fell in love with using my voice to communicate with people. And that kind of led me down the path to communication. I dropped out of architecture school after 3 semesters, jumped into radio full time. But it was about a decade later that I really started to mix my love for sports and my communication background. And that got me a little job at Illinois doing softball. And one thing eventually leads to the next, and suddenly you're doing Bulls games.
Well, I know you've got an 8 o'clock game, Illinois-Northwestern. Then you get in the car, and the second half of the NBA season starts. Bulls at home tomorrow night against the Brooklyn Nets. So, Tim, we'll let you get on with your activities, trying to get ready for the game tonight. Thanks so much for joining us. And Stacy will bring you a care package of his signature hot sauce. You can drown the vocal cords with some spicy hot sauce to make sure you're ready for the second half of the NBA schedule.
You know, I may wait till after the game tomorrow night to try it just in case, but I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it.
One of the best in the business.
Tim, thank you so much. Good luck with the game tonight. We'll see you at the United Center.
Thank you, guys. Can't wait. Been a pleasure.
Tim Sinclair, the PA voice for the Chicago Bulls. Coming up next, we'll talk a little college basketball and a whole lot more on Give Me the Hot Sauce. We had a lot of fun talking with Tim Sinclair. He's looking forward to sampling some of Stacy's signature hot sauce. And we haven't heard from our buddy Christopher Walken for a while. So, Chris, tell the folks how they can get their own bottles of Give Me the Hot Sauce.
Well, we got some news. Stacy, right. You want to tell them the news?
What is the news?
What's the news, Chris?
Where the sauce is going to be.
It's going to be in a lot of places. Like, what do you mean? What do you say?
As you can tell, we didn't rehearse this bit.
Yeah, this is all off the cuff.
They're not making a walking burger.
Okay. Yeah, we forgot it. Go ahead and read now. I'll explain it to the viewers, Christopher.
I eat kidneys with fava beans.
That wasn't me. That was another creepy old guy.
I just saw Phil Collins walk by, too.
Yeah.
That's right.
I can feel it
coming. tonight.
He's going to be on here soon.
I hope so.
I keep trying to get him in the studio, but I don't know. So, yeah, we got the hottest sauces you could get, including 1871. We use that to coax in Mr. There you go, Susudio. Come here. So, yeah, Stacy, you can tell him about the sauce, and I'm making burgers. But in the meantime, go to GimmeTheHotSauce.com and use code KING21 and get 21% off your first order.
And also coming to Jewel stores in the Chicagoland area.
That's right.
Yes, it is. Dun, 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 dun. We have breaking news, America. Give Me the Hot Sauce is everywhere right now. We are making big moves. I told y'all about the burger. We have a burger that's being created
Goose Island does a burger once a month for charity. Mm-hmm. And whenever you buy the burger, this is going to be a Stacey King Give Me the Hot Sauce theme burger. I got last week, I went to the taste testing.
Yeah.
And I was with the chef and all the people making the burger. Oh, man, we had some good ideas, Mark. some didn't make it. Some were good. I brought my boy Mike. You know, Mike came with me because he was on duty. He was protecting me. And, you know, I wanted Mike to taste the hot sauce because he never tastes the hot sauce on the actual burgers and stuff. So, and, you know, Mike just ate all the burgers. Like he just kept eating. We were leaving to go shoot this commercial, and Mike was still eating the burgers. We had to send like people to go get Mike. Like, Mike, come on, man. Mike was eating the burgers. That's how good the burger was.
Yeah.
So we came up with the flavor that's going to be in Goose Island in the United Center, and I think in their main bar for a whole month. It's going to be a barbecue cheddar bacon burger with the hot sauce. Not only in the meat, they use the hot sauce in the meat so you can taste it in the burger. You're also going to get it on the burger, but they have a side aioli. They mix that with the green – with the green salsa verde to dip your fries in. My God.
The whole experience.
Oh, my God. They were trying to get, man, I had a Goose Island, too. Shout out to Goose Island. Goose Island, you know, we are looking for sponsors. I don't turn them down on my collar. I'm mentioning your name right now, Goose Island, okay? So I'm having a Goose Island with me, you know, because matter of fact, it was when we played the Bucks last Thursday. Yeah. So I was off. So I was on the clock. So I could drink. So I was drinking the Goose Island, having my hot sauce burger. America, trust me, in April, when this burger comes out, make sure you get to Goose Island in the United Center. If you're in for any kind of event in the United Center, it'll be there in April for the whole month. And when you buy a burger, not only does it go to charity, the money go to charity, you also get a bottle of one of my flavors of hot sauce. So that's going to be a giveaway. Anybody who buys that burger, eats that burger, will get hot sauce free at the end. But I'm telling you, it'll be one of the best burgers you eat. I'm telling you.
And the Stacey's hot sauce will be available in Jewel Osco stores coming up as we get ready for March Madness. And, you know, we're talking about getting a bottle of hot sauce for yourself. We also are finding a way to maybe put some cash in your wallet. So we always want to take care of our viewers and listeners here on the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. We've got something new coming up for March Madness. It's a contest that you can get involved in. It's the Give Me the Hot Sauce Bracket Challenge with our friends at Run Your Pool. We've teamed up with them to give you a chance to compete in the Bracket Challenge. Run Your Pool is the home of competition, bringing sports fans and their friends together to connect and compete. RYP has over 50 game types for every sport you can think of. It's a one-stop shop for sports gaming. Over 2 million players. No better place to run your bracket for your friends, family, or office. March Madness is coming. We've teamed up with Run Your Pool, and you can compete in the Bracket Challenge. It's really simple. You just fill out your picks for all 63 games in the tournament and get points for each pick you get right. Run Your Pool is giving away $500 in cash prizing for the top three finishers. First place, $300. Second place, $150. Third place is $50. And as Stacey mentioned in his Instagram chat before we started, he's going to give out a bottle of hot sauce to whoever comes in fourth.
So one more thing. It's a four-pack, number one.
Okay.
You get all four.
There you go.
Finishing fourth, so we want to make sure. And it's play for free. You don't have to put any money in. Doesn't cost you anything. You got a chance to win some cash. Try to beat us, because it's not going to happen, because I am very good when it comes to the NCAA tournament.
Stacey's getting that $300.
Yeah, I'm getting that on the side.
So here's how you can enter. Again, as Stacey just mentioned, it is free to play. So head over to play.runyourpool. Wow, this is a tough read. I don't know.
Hey,
here we go. We got to make sure we get this right if you want to enter. So it's play.runyourpool.com/hot sauce. Hot sauce is one word. And don't forget to get your picks in when the bracket is live. Of course, Selection Sunday coming up in just a couple of weeks. So as soon as the teams, the field is announced, go to play.runyourpool.com/hot sauce. Make all your selections. The winner will win $300. So we encourage everybody to take part in that. Everybody likes to have office pools. Here's another chance for you to get involved with March Madness, and it won't cost you a cent.
It's free.
Yeah. So, Stacey, how about a little bit of insight? It seems like every week we're getting changes at the top of the AP poll because
teams are getting knocked off left and right. Purdue was number one for a while. They lost a couple of games. Northwestern beat them. Indiana beat them. They've dropped down. Houston is number one right now. Alabama had to win in overtime yesterday, so they're going to stay. Even though we got them spelled wrong on the graphic, we gotta help. We gotta check some of those.
Who spelled? Oh, they did spell Alabama wrong.
Alabama. Oh,
yeah, look. You know, hey, look. Hey, you see how they switched that real quick?
Yeah.
There you go. I ain't gonna say. I'm not gonna say whose name that. We're not gonna throw them under the bus. But if you know anything about the tight T-shirts, you know whenever whoever the guy that wears the tight T-shirts, it was him. I'm sorry. I didn't say his name. No, I didn't say his name. Francisco. I mean,
It's fixed now. All right. We're good now.
He fixed it. The power of TV. All right. So you look at those.
Yeah, who do you like this year?
Names right there. I'm telling you right now, if you don't have Houston in your Final Four, you might as well just hang it up. They're going to be there. They're one of the oldest teams in college basketball, so that normally wins games when you have a veteran-laden team.
Yeah, they made a good run last year,
too. Yeah, they're really good. I'd also say keep an eye on Tennessee. Tennessee's another team, man, that they've been up high this year and then they come down a little bit, but they are a really running gun, defensive oriented team. Those are my two picks that I think are definitely going to be there. I'd also say Virginia and Purdue. Keep an eye on those two.
I like Arizona's chances. They've not done well in the tournament, but they've got two big guys up front that can give you a little bit of different look. Most teams are guard oriented in today's game. The three-point shot is king, but Arizona's got a couple of post players that you want to keep an eye on. And there's the Big 12 has been so competitive this year. You see Texas and Baylor up there. Kansas State has been good this year. It'll be interesting to see how the Big 12 tournament shakes out. And there's a lot of teams that could make a run. I think this tournament is about as wide open as we've seen in years.
Let me see the second guys. Okay, so you're looking on that list right there. I would probably say keep an eye on
21.
No,
Northwestern, the Wildcats, second place in the Big Ten.
No, listen, they're going out in the first round.
They
might not make it to the second weekend. Okay, I would probably say if I would say a surprise team out of that group, I'd say keep an eye on TCU. That'd be one of my little dark horses.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Keep an eye on TCU. They're really good.
And the Big East has been really competitive.
Hey, where's Oklahoma, man? Surprising season.
No, I heard, I shouldn't even say this because you're going to get angry, but they're projecting that 9 of the 10 teams in the Big 12 are going to make it. The one that's not? Oklahoma.
Mark, that's false. That's fake news.
Well, it's looking at the standings.
He's your new Fredo. I'm fake off the hook.
Yeah, Fredo. He's my new Fredo, America.
Oh, man.
Who told you that, Mark?
That's what the projections. The bracketologists right now are projecting 9 teams out of the Big 12. Oklahoma right now is under 500, so that they're not going to make it unless they win the Big 12 tournament.
Listen, who else might not make it? Like Duke and North Carolina.
Right.
You notice all those teams we saw right there?
Yeah.
When was the last time you didn't see a Duke or North Carolina team that was in those top 25?
Forever,
that is crazy. I was talking to Scott Williams the other day, and we were talking about that. And, we were trying to, I watched North Carolina play. And one of the things that I noticed, one of the things that's really kind of hurt the college basketball game is the NIL. I don't care what nobody says. I mean, I'm all for the players getting some money. But this stuff is starting to get completely out of hand. Guys are, kids are making $500 to $1 million. What is the incentive for those guys to come in and play hard every night? It used to be when guys weren't getting paid, they were trying to play hard to get to the NFL. They were playing hard to get to the NBA. Now you got kids that, making damn near $1 million. They're driving big cars in school. It causes jealousy amongst the rest of the team because there's other guys who don't get that. So you're causing a lot of envy and jealousy there. So when you go into the tournament or you go into a season like North Carolina, you have guys that are making a lot of money and guys who are not, and it causes dissension on the team. And then, all of a sudden now you've got anarchy, and teams who are supposed to be really good are not playing well together as a team, because I believe it's NIL. They need a doctrine and get that under control, because what you've done now is basically said, hey, the thing they guarded against for so many years in NCAA about the boosters and stuff, all you've done now is just open the door and let the boosters in now. And whoever's got the most money can pay the most. Whatever school has the most boosters can, really kind of get the best players.
So, Whispers, you got any advice for the folks besides Northwestern? You got any teams you like?
No, I'm with him. TCU, I like, is a dark horse. I also think Creighton, they had a kid injured, right, that now is back. Is that who I'm thinking of?
I'll have to get research that.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
I know they lost to Marquette the other day.
Yeah, but they're getting a kid back that could make a difference. There's something that I just read about that. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of conferences that have been really bunched up, a lot of competitive leagues right now. So we'll see how the conference tournaments shake up. And we'll continue to update this over the next couple of weeks before the Selection Sunday arrives. But the thing that you need to know is that we've got a contest coming up, the Give Me the Hot Sauce Bracket Challenge. Go to play.runyourpool.com/hot sauce and you fill out your bracket and you have a chance possibly to win some
cash. Right beforehand, we're going to have to expose our picks.
Expose what?
Our picks.
Oh, okay. Our picks. All right. I didn't know where you were going.
Well,
with that.
They can see it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Expose ourselves. Oh, Lord.
So, you'll see me on there as T Whispers.
All right.
So, yeah.
Oh, you already created the name?
Because they got to look at it and figure out how to beat us.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of strategy involved.
Right.
Okay. $300. Sign up. It's free. A lot of money.
That sauce.
Hey, it's time for the Biggers this week. What are we watching on television? Sponsored by Biggers Mazda, their new sizzling Elgin location at Randall Road is the biggest Mazda store in Illinois. Biggers is offering a bottle of Stacy's signature hot sauce. It's everywhere with first test drives of new or pre-owned vehicles. Your choice, everything from the coolest SUVs to the stunning Miata. So make sure to join the fun at 2100 Randall Road in Elgin. That's Biggers Mazda. Tell our buddy Jim Lechter that the hot sauce crew sent you over for a test drive. And you want your bottle of hot sauce.
Yeah, just for that reason, go over there and test drive a car.
I'm gonna start off while we're watching because I gotta help people. Because sometimes, you know, you see the Academy Award nominations and you think, I gotta check that movie out. It must be really good if it was nominated for an Academy Award. Well, I'm here to tell you. The Banshees of Inisherin is one of the worst movies I have ever seen in my entire life. And, you know, I after the first few minutes, you know, a lot of times, you know, you think I'm going to walk out of the theater, I'm going to turn this off. But my personality is once I start watching a movie, I almost have to finish it. So I put myself through 2 hours of misery. This thing is just horrible. It's about these two guys live on an island off the Irish coast. And one guy decides they used to go to the pub every day and they were buddies. And one guy just decided out of nowhere that he doesn't want to be friends with this guy anymore and just completely shuts off communications with it. The rest of the movie is just how their lives just crumble because of their adversity against each other. Guy's cutting off his fingers. It's just one of the worst movies you've ever seen. So do not, please, do not watch this
film. Was it worse than Battlefield Earth?
I didn't see Battlefield Earth, but this is really bad.
So that's your benchmark.
I'm calling
now.
People off, yeah.
Wow, that's... I could tell you from the previous, you just asked me, I'd have told you that it sucked. I mean, I like Brendan Gleeson and I like him. I like him as an actor. But I just felt like even him as a good actor was not going to save this movie.
There's nothing to save.
Because, you know, when they show the previews, normally that's like the best of the movie. You know what I'm saying? That's how they hook you. You know, that's how they hook you to come in like, oh my God, we got to go see this movie. And then you get in there. It's kind of like George of the Jungle. I remember taking my kids to George of the Jungle, the live version with Brendan Gleeson. And I, you know, my kids were like little guys, you know, so I'm like, they want to go see it. So I take them to go see the movie. First minute of the movie, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, this is the worst kids movie ever. And then, like, I told my kids, like, hey, listen, guys, I'm just going to go get some popcorn. I'll be right
back.
And
I might be back in two hours.
I left them in there. I sat outside the theater, man, and just ate some popcorn. And I got them some popcorn. I brought it back in there. I said, hey, I got to take this call. I'll be right back. Yeah. I did not watch that movie. It was awful. And even my son now who's like 30. It's like, yeah, Dad, that movie. Remember that George of the Jungle movie? That was awful. I don't even know why you took us there. So you're a little grateful bastard.
Hey, you can't get that time back.
No.
So Whispers is going to tell us about an inspiring film he saw on the plane.
I didn't even know it was old.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Prisoners.
Nice uplifting stories we've got for the folks this week.
Yeah, about two kids that get kidnapped.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Way to bring down the mood, Tim. Two six-year-olds get kidnapped. Way to bring it down, Tim.
Did you enjoy the film?
I was really enjoying it. It was a wild ride, but I was sweating. Yeah. My back was all cramped up and I'm on an airplane.
Oh, man.
Just completely miserable. Like, why did I put this on?
And people probably just thought you had some kind of sickness or something. They're like, is this dude got COVID? Like, what's he's just starting to sweating.
The guy next to me is like, I can't stop looking at your screen. I watched that before. He goes, it's crazy. It's intense. And I'm like, I've never heard of
it. He probably thought you had porn playing. He's like, listen, is this guy got, wait a minute, is that Kendra Lust? Let me see.
Well, I had that on first.
No, but seriously, he thought it was a new movie. It's an old movie. I had
how can you tell? Hugh Jackman looks the same. Terrence Howard looks the same.
I had to enlighten him, Mark. This was an old movie.
Yeah.
And Viola Davis.
Yeah, it was a good movie. A lot of good actors and Jake actresses Gyllenhaal. In this movie. The same. And it was they had the one kid, the creepy dude, Paul.
He's like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh man, he's creepy. There's every movie he's done is creepy. He did that movie There Will Be Blood with Paul Dano, that's his name. Just a creepy guy. And I think he's in Batman, in the new Batman with I think he's gonna play the Joker because he was in the prison so when Batman went into the prison to talk to him, he was behind the scenes and he was the one killing everybody. They found out who it was, and it was that. I'm sorry if you didn't see Batman. What's the name of that Batman movie?
The Batman.
Is that the name of it? The Batman. Damn, that was basic. There's like four or five Batmans. Are you serious? It was that Batman? Robert Pattinson was the Batman, which was cool. I thought it was one of the best ones. But yeah, Paul Dano's just creepy, man. There Will Be Blood. He was in there. Look up who the actor was. Jeffrey Day Lewis. That's, I think, is his name. Jeffrey Day Lewis was the actor. And he was like the Dano character was a preacher. Oh man, it was creepy in that movie. I was so glad that he got beat down. Daniel Day Lewis. Yes. What did I say? Real
Jeffrey.
Okay. Way to correct me on that, guys.
So Stacey, you've got something good for people to watch.
Yeah. Right? Oh, I'm telling y'all something.
Yeah, America. Help us out.
America. Put mine up on the screen, people. Okay, there we go, right there. I Want to Dance with Somebody, Whitney Houston. I want to be a freak with somebody.
Uplifting, yeah.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. It was, listen, man. You forget how talented Whitney Houston was until you hear her music. I said the same thing about Rihanna at the Super Bowl. You kind of forget how many hit songs she had, and then she starts playing them in the Super Bowl. You're like, man, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Umbrella, that kind of stuff. But Whitney Houston had hit after hit. She's like one of the most successful singers of all time. She beat the Beatles, Michael Jackson, and just showing her, showing how it all started behind the scenes. When she was alive, I think everyone knew like her and her friend Robin were more than just friends. You know what I'm saying? But no one ever knew. You couldn't tell it, but they came out and said it. They came out in this movie and said they were more than friends, and you saw it. They also showed that how her behind the scenes, what made her venture into drugs and to go down that path, how she met Bobby Brown, how her father stole millions from her. It just showed why she was really a mental wreck. It was all this stuff. Here's a girl with this booming voice. Her mother, she sang backup in her mother's, her mother's band.
Yeah.
And one night they had Clive Davis come, who was the big record executive, and said, hey, we got this teenage girl that's got a really good voice, boom, boom, boom. And the first night he saw her sing, he said, she's the voice of this generation. And I'm telling you, the girl who played her to a T. So after the movie, they showed the actual footage of Whitney and all the footage that they had in the movie. So this girl was portraying Whitney in certain things when she did the Super Bowl, which is arguably one of the greatest Super Bowl, national anthems, next to, again, another R&B singer, Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye did the NBA playoff thing, and then you had Whitney do the Super Bowl. Those were the two greatest, national anthems. Just amazing, amazing voice, man. It's so sad that you think these people like, Michael Jackson, Prince, Whitney Houston have so much going for them, so much to live for. But behind the scenes, you never know what these people are going through. So many people think, oh, they got the great life. They got all the money, the cars, the big houses. But these people have tormented souls, man. And it goes way deeper than just being an entertainer. This is stuff coming from her childhood. Her mother and father were constantly fighting all the time.
You said this was uplifting.
Shut up. Damn, if I slap you in the throat, okay?
All of a sudden,
no, people, it is uplifting.
Prisoners was more uplifting.
It is. No. Prisoners was more. No. But no, seriously, people need to check out this movie. It's a great movie. It's the actress who played her,
did a phenomenal job. Looked just like her, the body movement, how she carried herself. And at the end of the movie, they show the credits. And every one of the credits that they had were actually in the movie. And it looked just like Whitney, the movements and everything. It was awesome.
So we get a strong recommendation for that.
Somebody. Woo!
And don't watch Banshees of Inisherin.
I want to be a freak from somebody.
Talking about Frank Farmer?
Can't say that enough. Hey, before we get out of here, is Mike waiting outside? Speaking of Frank Farmer.
Yeah, Mike, let me tell you something. Mike's getting ready to go to Ireland in a week or so. He's going to see the boss again.
Again, okay.
Okay, you know, and he's going to go to Portland. So, you know, Mike is planning his trip. So, like, you know, hey. So
the boss's people must know who he is by now.
Watch out. Hey, you know, he might be on a wanted poster. I don't know. Be on the lookout for this guy. He's been to too many. You know, if they see him too much.
Why is this guy always here?
You know, who is this guy? Is this assassination attempt? You know, they got Mike's photo. You know, they keep an eye on Mike. But Mike, I'm going to tell you something. Mike went to go taste the burger the other day, man. And, you know, I always try to include Mike in things. Like, I was like, come on, Mike, I want you to taste this burger. Tell me what you think.
Honestly, you bring the Doublemint Twins for the taste
of this thing? No, Doublemint Twins, we kept them in the car because we had other places to go. We kept them in the car. We gave them, you know, what they needed in the place. They're right there. So I bring Mike in there. Mike's just like, you know, he knows the arena. He sees the arena. His dad, I think, used to work there.
Yeah.
So Mike's familiar with the arena. So, but man, you just saw Mike, you know, eating them hamburgers. You would have thought he was on death row. It's like, this is the last meal. I literally had to go get one of the Bulls employees to go get him. Like, hey, can you go get my man, Mike? Mike's sitting over eating the burger. I'm like, whoa, killer. He's a Mike. Mike, if you listen, baby, don't let them come between us, baby. Don't let them break us up, Mike. I know you're out there listening in the car right now. Stay loyal to me, Mike. Stay loyal. Don't listen to Mark, man. He'll come between us. This is how the Beatles broke up.
So tell the folks how they can get a ride from Windy City Limousine.
Windy City Limousine provides championship service. Making a reservation is so easy. It's a slam dunk. Let Windy City break the full court pressure of traffic and get you to your destination on style and on time. Contact us at 847-916-9300 or WindyCityLimos.com.
Celebrity voice impersonated.
Clarice.
About ruining a read.
Ah, Clarice.
Yeah, I think it's time to bring down the curtain on episode 119. We are officially off the rails. Want to thank our guest, Tim Sinclair, the PA voice at the United Center for your Chicago Bulls. We'll get ready to start the second half of the NBA season Friday night. Stacey and Adam back at work, hard at work, as the final 23 games of the schedule. Hopefully the Bulls can get on a run and make a chance to get into the postseason play. Again, thank you for watching and listening. We'll be back with a brand new episode next week. Until then,
drive home safely, Chicago. Beep, beep.
Big time players make big time plays. Give me the hot sauce.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.